Proverbs chapter number 6, today we get some practical instructions, some good practical insight concerning some of the opportunities we have to fall into the hole, fall into the pit, and how the Lord has provided good wisdom for us here. Remember now, this is wisdom and insight and instruction primarily for young men, for young people. If you have lived for a number of years as an adult, as a mature adult, some of these things you already know. But as a young man just entering his manhood, his adulthood, you would know these things. And we say that we learn in the school of hard knocks. But, you know, that's a real expensive way to learn. And God has given us His Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by the Spirit of God for instruction and correction and reproof and so on, so that we don't have to go to the school of hard knocks. The only reason we have to go to the school of hard knocks is because we don't go to the school of the Holy Ghost. If we'd go to the school of God's Word, we would spend much less time in the school of hard knocks. Now, in Proverbs 6, the first instruction we get here is concerning being a guarantor for someone else, particularly in co-signing notes or going a debt with someone. And here's the instruction. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now, the idea of a surety here is the Hebrew word actually means to braid, like you braid two ropes together, or to intermix to where they become one. And specifically what he's describing here is being a guarantor or offering a pledge for someone else's debt, or co-signing a note for someone else. Now, notice in the first verse, he's describing not only being a co-signer for a friend, but also being a co-signer for a stranger. They are equally dangerous. You will find, if you've lived any period of time at all, that no man in his right mind would co-sign for a stranger. But many would do it for a friend and get in just as much trouble. Not only a separation of the friendship, and not only a breaking of that relationship, but also you can get into the same kind of financial bondage co-signing for a friend as you can for a stranger. I consider the word friend to mean anyone who would be close to you, which would be neighbor, relative, son. Are you listening? Close associate, partner, and so on. It's dangerous to co-sign in any kind of circumstance. The Word of God says, whether it be for a friend or whether it be for a stranger, you are snared with the words of your mouth. When you give your word to stand good for someone else's debt, you are allowing yourself to be entrapped. The word snare means to lay a trap. And he says, with your mouth, you're snaring yourself. And the remainder of verse 2 says that with the words of your mouth, you are taken. Now, do you know what happens to a man who co-signs a note for another man who fails to pay the debt, and you can't pay the debt? Do you know what happens to you? You get, what's the word here? You get taken. Are you listening? Not only do you get took, but you can get taken to the slammer for failure to pay that debt. Are you listening? Now, you don't only lay a trap for yourself with your mouth, but with your own mouth, you can be taken. And you can set up the situation with this surety arrangement, this guarantee arrangement, for you to cause yourself a lot of trouble. Now, watch verse 3. Do this now, my son. Underline the word now. Do this now. If you are a co-signer or a surety for someone else, here's what you do, and do it as quickly as possible. Deliver thyself. Deliver thyself. get yourself out of that as quickly as you can. Deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now here's the analogy. A person who is a co-signer on another person's note is like a deer with a hunter drawing a bead on him. Are you listening? Or he's like a bird who, do you know what a fowler is? The way they would hunt is with a sling type arrangement with stones and cords, and they would throw it and it would foul the animal's legs. And it would trap them, and so they could not move. And this is the idea. A bird in the hand of a fowler is already ensnared. Now, a person who is involved in this is given this instruction as quickly as possible right now. Go to your friend or the stranger or whomever you have co-signed with and humble yourself and make sure thy friend, and if at all possible, deliver yourself. There are two things for you to do. First of all, make sure your friend. Reestablish your relationship there and find out what's going on with that debt. Find out if that debt is being paid properly, if it's being maintained properly. Find out what he is doing. Ascertain what's going on with that situation. You don't co-sign a note and just let the thing go. For do you know what happens when you co-sign a note? Let me tell you what happens frequently when a father co-signs a note for a son, for example. And the son, let's say it's to buy a house. And the son misses about 3 payments on the house. Now, during this time, the son's been getting all these notices. But the father gets nothing. All right? Now, all notes carry with them, I shouldn't say all, I should say the high percentage of notes of indebtedness carry with them the right of the lender to accelerate all of the payments and demand full payment immediately upon the note becoming past due. So the son has missed 3 payments. He's told the lender, I'm going to do this, and then he didn't do it. I'm going to do this, and he didn't do it. And the lender now is up to here with promises. This has been going on now for some time. Usually you don't miss 3 payments and boom, you've missed them along, you've been late, you had some promises along. Now all of a sudden the thing has come to a crunch. The lender has had a belly full and he's full up to here. And now the father gets the notice that the thing is due. Now where are you going to get as the father, where are you going to get the kind of money that it would take to pay that thing off? Where would you get most far? Where would you get enough to make 3 payments immediately by tomorrow morning or a couple of days later, that sort of thing? And this is what oftentimes happens, frequently happens. My own personal view of this is that not to co-sign a note for anybody under any circumstances. If someone is in need, give them what they need. Give it to them. Don't lend it to them. Give it to them. One of my sons came to me a number of years ago, and he wanted a co-signer on a note to buy a car. Now, I wouldn't co-sign the note because the Word of God says don't co-sign the note. But there's a second reason why I wouldn't co-sign the note. Because banks want to get, the car is not enough collateral. See? Forgive me, bankers, but you guys want blood. See? Now, he wasn't borrowing the money without collateral. The car was collateral. But that's not enough for many lenders. They want you to be enslaved to them. They don't want just collateral. They want enslavement. And so he's going to buy a car. It's the first car he's ever bought. And they want a co-signer for the loan. I refused to co-sign the loan. He didn't understand that. As a matter of fact, it caused a bit of a breach between us. But I wouldn't co-sign it today either. When I was a young man, younger, I should say, when I was a younger man, amen, he says, one of my peers, when I was a younger man, and it happened just like when I went to buy my first automobile, I went to the bank where I had my checking account, the place that I've been banking all along. And I wanted to borrow. The first car I bought was $550 for a 1953 Chevrolet. Green. And they wouldn't make me the loan. So I just decided if they didn't want to make me the loan, that I didn't need them as a bank. You know, when I need a bank, I can hide my money in a mattress. And I can cash my checks at the local corner grocery store. I need a bank to do everything. And so they never had any problem with me. But they decided that they didn't have any credit experience with me. And so it wasn't enough that they'd been handling my checking account and there'd been no problems with that and so on. They didn't want to loan me the money. And they said, have your father co-sign. I said, no way I will have my father co-sign. I'm going to buy the car. The car is collateral. You have no reason to expect that there's anything wrong with my credit. If that's not enough, I'll go somewhere else. And I did. And I went down the street, and I went to another bank who did not know me. And I borrowed the money for the car. Well, after I'd borrowed the money for the car, I went up to my old bank and canceled out my checking account and my savings account and moved everything down to the new bank. Because, I mean, that's my bank now, right? They're taking care of me. But they wanted my father to co-sign. No, I wouldn't even ask him to co-sign. And at that time, but that was a matter of pride, right? It was my pride. It was not that I understood the word of God and I was a word man. I was a pride man. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to permit those people to manipulate me. And so oftentimes I think parents get messed up in this. I think we understand that you wouldn't want to go surety for a stranger. But many times we go surety for children. And sometimes parents will get involved in co-signing a note so that their children can go into business. I think that's wrong. I'll tell you why I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong because the Word of God says it's wrong. I think it's also wrong because it's unwise if the child does not have sufficient strength and credit and so on to go into business on his own, then he ought not to be going into business at all. That's my own personal view. Now, the first part is the Word of God. The second part is the Word of Rockhill. Okay, Vic Rockhill. You got that? So I just see the wisdom of the Word of God. Oftentimes, fathers and mothers want to help their kids get ahead. They want to help them do well and so on. And what happens is they get in there and they get $4,000 or $5,000, $40,000 or $50,000 tied up in a co-signing situation where they have to guarantee that note. And you tell me now that a man who co-signs a note without any expectation of ever having to repay that note, and now finds he's got to repay it, you tell me that something doesn't happen between him and the relationship between him and his son. We'll get quiet in here. Did I step on some toes along the way here? It's a dangerous situation. If you are tempted to co-sign with somebody, give them the money. Don't co-sign with them. Give them the money. Don't lend it to them. Give them the money. If they want to repay you, that's fine. But when you release it, you give it to them. Don't you make an arrangement where you lend the money. I don't understand. This is my own view now. I don't understand children borrowing from their parents or parents from the children. Where do we get off? You couldn't borrow any money from me, and I wouldn't borrow any from you. If I needed money from you, I'd want you to give it to me. If you needed it from me, I'd give it to you. I can't tell you how many people come to the church and want to borrow money from the church. Borrow money. We had a man drive up out here one day in an old Lincoln Continental. I mean old. That thing rattled into the parking lot out there. And he came upstairs, and we'd already ministered to him a couple of times financially. this is somebody not a part of our church. And he came in that day and he wanted to borrow $300 against his car. He wanted me to hold the car for collateral for the $300. I said, where does it say bank on this place? I said, this is not a bank. This is the house of God. But he wanted to make a loan. Church doesn't make loans. We don't make loans. And his problem was he had to get into a house. He needed to make a deposit on the house and some other things, you know, and he needed $300. And the only asset he had was, I mean, I understood what he was trying to do, but he did not understand the kingdom of God. And so when you are tempted to be a guarantor for someone, you remember Proverbs chapter 6 and these first 4 or 5 verses. If you're in a situation like that right now, you do what you can to extricate yourself. If you have co-signed with someone else, you do what you can to get yourself out from under that obligation. See if that person cannot now, maybe sufficient equity has been established in the whatever it was he borrowed the money for, and perhaps there's a strong enough financial base where the lender would allow you out. Now, most lenders will not, once they have you, they're not in the business of letting you out unless the thing is paid off. And it's not real easy to get yourself extricated. Now, you say, yes, but this is my brother. And he's a fine man. And I know that he'll take care of this debt. What happens if tomorrow he gets hit with a Mack truck? Now, how's he going to take care of the debt? Is his wife going to take care of it? You're going to have to take care of the wife and the children. How's he going to take care of the debt when he's pushing up daisies? Things do happen. You can't depend on tomorrow. The scripture says life is but a vapor. You can't make plans like that for tomorrow. And most of the time, when we are asked to be surety for the debt, it means that the lender, people who are in the business of lending money and providing security for their investment, feel that the borrower is not strong enough to support the debt. That's why you're asked to be a cosigner. And you're going into a marginal situation in the beginning. If you ever do decide that there's a situation where you should co-sign, the only way that you can do that and not violate the scripture would be for you to go in with an attitude that if it's necessary, I'll pay this off and it's a gift. And I think even that is dangerous, but that's the only way that you could really operate there. Jay?
Yeah. In response to one question he has to step on, okay? I've got 12 kids. If I flush, am I flush? Now, the terminology frame, okay? When I co-sign for my children, and I believe when we're talking, we should use names. Give exact example. I praise the Lord for the prosperity he has given my children, brains, jobs, etc. Now, the people in this fellowship know my daughter, Lori. My daughter, Lori, has freely, out of her own heart, I love my daughters. I love my kids. Has supported previously, without ever waving a flag, as you know, scholarships for children in the academy. She makes real good money, real good money. She's a manager of the deli at Kroger. At the same time, no cotton picking way could my daughter buy a $150,000 home. She has no credit cards, Texaco or nothing. Now, she can make the payments. Amen, co-signed for her, and I've co-signed for many of my kids. Now, my attitude, as you say, is this. I'll take care of that, but I have enough faith in my children and the Word of God that my children are going to be able to make their payments. They're not going to let their dad down because they let God down when they sign a commitment. It's man's law. They let me down, too. They bring discredit upon my name. They've never done this yet. Now, friend, amen, amen. I don't have a friend out there that is a close enough friend which I'd say I would sign a note for. But they, the kids, I work with these banking people all day long. And shoot, it doesn't matter what the people make. If they don't have credit, tough. I got to get my kids started somewhere.
Well, how many people in here had someone co-sign for them to get your first house? Let me see your hands. Okay, now the rest of you got started some other way then, didn't you? Is that right? So that's the answer to your question, that you can get started another way. There are other ways to get started. Many of the times when we're involved in the co-signing situation, what you're doing is just anticipating what could occur 6 months or a year later on their own. In other words, it could be handled on their own in time. And so you co-sign now so that they can have it now. But if they were on their own, they'd have it in 6 months or a year on their own anyway. Now, you have your understanding of what friend is. I have mine, and I share it that way based on the experience that I have. I think you're on shaky ground there, not with your kids. You got great kids. But I think you're on shaky ground there with the Word of God. Just my view. Roger?
What I was going to say, part of what you just said, that co-signing is inflationary. We're suffering the consequences right now of two generations of co-signing and things like this, because people want it now without associated work and time of waiting with patience and letting patience exercise its perfect work in their lives to be able to gain that reward of work and associated reward.
Sure.
Now, there are the only other alternative to that is gift. And you know, apart from the gift of God or a gift from your family or something like that. And it's inflationary, and this country is suffering the consequences of two generations of folks.
Paying the price of it. That's true. Yes, Mother?
My husband never bought a car on time. If he didn't have the cash, he didn't get a car. Mm-hmm. And that was just the most simple thing to have. You can have everything everybody else has.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wasting the time.
Yes. It's almost a lost art, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don?
Well, part of this co-signing thing is you may not qualify for the $150,000 loan with the co-signer, or maybe you can with the co-signer, but you might qualify for a $50,000 or $75,000 loan without a co-signer. So it's a matter of, again, living within your income, like it's costly, living within that standard.
So you get three bedrooms instead of five.
That's right.
Is that you?
That's right.
Kerry?
I think it's almost time that the church realizes we can't do the way the world has done it all these years. The church has done it for a long time. It's time for us to stand up and say that Jesus is my doctor. He's my healer. And he's my financier. And it's time for us to cancel the ways of the world and start let the judgment begin in the house of God. That those things worked in the past, they're not going to work anymore. If we're going to do something, we need to align it with the Word of God. And then it'd be wrong for me to even ask someone to co-sign for me because I know it's wrong.
Uh-huh.
According to the Word, whether I'm good or bad. It's time for us to stand up and say, God's my source, not the bank, not the doctors. God's my source. And if we don't do that, then eventually it's going to catch up with us.
Uh-huh. Susan?
I wanted to ask you maybe to go back and explain a little bit more where
the
connection is from. Is it talking about maybe, is it talking about before or after or?
No, it's after. The idea here is after. Verse 3, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. There's the idea. Get yourself free if you can, possibly, when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. It's as if the friend here, if I understand this correctly, the way this speaks to me, Susan, is that you're joined with him. The idea of striking hands together is shaking hands in an agreement. And so you're in the hand of your friend, that you have an agreement there, and you've got a partnership, and you've got a joint obligation. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. What I gather from that is to, and as I was reading on this verse also, it seems to be to make sure that your relationship is established. Make sure that the debt is being properly serviced. Make sure that the situation is the same today as it was when you entered into this agreement. Reassure yourself, I guess, is the idea that I derive from that. It's not as clear, perhaps, as it could be, but that's the way I read that. That's what I was saying before, and maybe this is. Maybe this is part of the point that Jack is trying to make, and that is that when you co-sign, if you feel that that's what you need to do in that situation, that the only reasonable way that you can do it is when you know that you have, if that thing ever comes due, that you're going to satisfy it, and it's a gift. That you're not going to hold that person responsible. If you co-sign for David when he built a house, and something happens to David, that you as co-signer and father are going to take care of David's family, his housing and everything else that's involved there with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Bart.
We held a second mortgage on a house one time, and that's kind of a similar situation to this, I think, in that you're helping that person secure something that they cannot secure under their own steam. And we were holding the second note, and they got behind on the note, and got behind to us and to the mortgage company too. And it got 3 months behind, and the particular law of the land there was after a 90-day period, then the mortgage company had the right to foreclose on the property and leave the person holding the second note out in the cold. And then we had, it was a pretty good size note that we held. And Janice and I don't own a house now. We will, but we don't own one now. But we were sitting there and we said, well, can we throw this guy out? We'd call him and, well, he'd had motorcycle wrecks and broke all his arms and blah, 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 blah. I said, well, we're going to throw this guy out, and throw him out of the house, retake the house, sell the house again and be in the same situation we are now, or something very similar to that. And we tried to sell the note and couldn't sell it or anything like that at all. Just couldn't. We were just getting ready to throw the guy out or kiss the whole mess off. And we sat one evening, we said, well, we ain't as you do unto others, So we said, well, we're not going to throw the guy out. He is probably legitimately sick. We said, we'll just go ahead, if they foreclose, they just foreclose, and we'll just lose the money. We'll just know better than doing it next time. And, I was telling Don about this, and 2 days later, a guy that we had called several weeks earlier had called back and offered to buy the note at that time. But it was certainly a relief to get rid of that note. And mm-hmm. It cost us, it cost money to sell that second note.
Mm-hmm.
But to get out from that obligation.
What you're saying is the second mortgage, because it really didn't have collateral, was almost like a co-signing kind of situation,
exactly,
is what you're describing. Mm-hmm. I see that. Vera?
Well, I praise the Lord that I had parents that, even though they weren't Christians at the time, my father had a great deal of wisdom. He used to give us an allowance, which is very common, and we'd come to him to get an advance and allowance to get something. And the first thing he'd say to us, if you can't afford what your allowance is now, then save it until you can, or you don't need it. And so because of that training, even now, I've learned that if there's something I really would like, that if I can't afford it, I don't need it. I can find some other arrangement that will take care of it just as well. And I've also learned to trust in the Lord more, because when I really did have a need that I couldn't afford, the Lord would take care of it. So all the way around, it works a lot better because you learn to trust in the Lord, but also learn that,
You learn restraint. You learn some restraint, yes. Okay, one more. Lee?
My brother, in that similar situation, my dad thinks that loans would be answered everything. And my brother started this as a privacy business, and he needed cameras and set up my dad to get loans for him in their house and everything. And he's just up to his neck in debt. And every time something happens, my dad will have to get another loan because he can't get anything on his own. And he's not saved, and I feel like I tell my dad to stop. He's not saying, he doesn't need you, he's got my dad. You know, he is not saved, the fact he's learned where his true source is. And it's just, he's 29 years old, and he's really in a financial mess because it's my dad's doing it. You're not making, you know, if you have to lose your house, if you lose your business, you just lose it. You gotta learn to stand.
What happens in a situation like that oftentimes, and it so frequently happens, the kind of situation that Jack is describing is positive in terms of its results, because he's raised some good kids. But the kind of situation you're describing is where a father is in so deep already that if he doesn't continue to feed this voracious monster, that everything that he has co-signed for is going down the drain. And so you get in bondage there, and you continue to feed it and feed it and feed it. And you get into the kind of situation, it's very much like the story of the prodigal son. I'm reminded of that story because the prodigal son did not want to wait until the time for his inheritance. He came to his father and he said, I want mine now. And he didn't know how to manage it. I want it now. And the father gave it to him now. And he went out and squandered the whole thing. So, and many of us are doing the same kind of thing. We see that same kind of situation going on there. Well, I think I didn't realize it was getting so late. I don't want to go to the next section here, which is a biological study of the ant. But it does tie in, you know, the study of the ant does tie into what we've been talking about. The description of the ant is illustrative of how it ought to be with us, that our diligence and so on. Did I shut off anybody there at the end that wanted to make a comment or an observation? Yes, Steve.
Not a comment, but I believe we, in answer to Susan's question, I think it'd be good if we went into the Hebrew meaning of the word serve and charity. I'm not fully satisfied myself in the meaning of that word. Corresponding verse is Proverbs 11:15.
Mm-hmm.
He that hateth suretyship is sure. I'd like for us to discuss that a little.
Okay.
Next week. What the word surety means and surety really.
Okay. Well, the word surety, I gave you that meaning earlier in the lesson, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Body of Christ needs to learn not to be so anxious. Well, everybody needs to learn that. But be anxious. If you're anxious for something, more likely it's not God's will, because God doesn't do that. Doesn't work like that. It's we need to be anxious for nothing but that prayer and supplication that you requested and made known to God. If you'll do that and you'll wait, everything I've ever been anxious for and got it, I didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that out through a few years of experience of bad things like you're talking about. So if we just won't be anxious, just be patient. We'll come up there.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Dan?
To me, plastic money, we get ourselves in the same situation. Adam got his seven. Adam had it all, and God had promised to instruct him in time. But Adam could see that Satan was going to give it all to him now. Well, he thought, well, we're the same way. We got it. Credit card, and we can charge. We don't have to wait, and that's what got our country in such a mess now. I think that 90% of the people are living on what they're going to make next year.
Yes, we're an impatient society. We sure are.
So I just don't like plastic money.
Stephen.
Well, I would just like to have a comment on this for myself. It seems to me the more and more that I get in the Word, the more that I see is like in the Scripture saying that the borrower serves the lender. And the more you get in the Word, it's the same thing on anything like that. Even sicknesses or, doctors, we tend to trust more in that than like the Lord. And like I know a lot of evangelists and kids, culture in particular, they don't believe in borrowing money, just paying cash for whatever they go. And I have a problem with that, you know, like you say, borrowing money. And it's just, I've had a hard time with it. I just wonder how you feel in it. I mean, I know it kind of ties in this, and I know there again, it's not necessarily part of what we're saying, but how do you deal with that?
Okay, let me make this, I can't really do that in 2.5 minutes that you have left, but, and we will be dealing with that when we get to the proverb that the borrower is servant to the lender. We'll be dealing with that more specifically. My own view of borrowing is that borrowing is not the problem. The problem is borrowing what you cannot pay back or what you have no collateral for. I've never had a problem with borrowing. I think plastic money, as Dan says, and there we go. Plastic money is not a problem if you can pay that thing when you get the statement at the end of the month. But if you can't pay that when you get the statement at the end of the month, then you're incurring debt, and debt is something other than borrowing. If you get my drift, debt is owing somebody something that you cannot pay. But to borrow is not necessarily wrong. If it were wrong, then God would not have instructed His people in the Old Testament to lend to those that want to borrow from you. And the only requirement He gave them was, He said, you may not charge your brother interest. You can charge the stranger interest, but you but you cannot charge your brother interest. And He did not forbid the borrowing and lending. And the borrower is servant to the lender if he cannot pay the debt. See? But if he can pay the debt, I owe some money, but I'm not servant to the lender. I have more assets than I have liabilities by a substantial sum. And if I was unable to make those payments, I'd sell some assets, convert them to cash, and pay it off. Mm-hmm. See? And so I'm not servant to them. But if I owe more than I have in assets, then I'm a servant. Because if those things come due, or if something happened to me, I couldn't work and couldn't produce an income, then I don't have anything to pay that off with. Mm-hmm. Then I'm a slave. But we'll talk some more about that. Kenneth Copeland is a little stronger in this area. But if you find Fred Price on the other side of that situation, he borrowed money to buy his Crenshaw Christian Center, paid it off early, but borrowed the money. And many people will misjudge what he says when he describes about not being a slave, you know, that it means don't borrow. The Romans 8 scripture that says, owe no man anything, has nothing to do with money, absolutely nothing to do with money. That scripture has been taken out of context and I think brought God's people into bondage in an area of not being able to borrow. I don't see anything wrong with that. I just don't see the problem in it. But unless you get in the situation I was just describing. But more about that when we get over to that particular proverb. Good question. All right, let's close there and